Good morning, and welcome to Crosslink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. Integrating oral and systemic health is what I do. I am Shirley Gutkowski, your host of Crosslink Radio. I'm a clinical dental hygienist, and I am also, ta-da, a myofunctional therapist, which we'll be talking a lot about on Crosslink Radio as we move through time. There is a substantial link now between the health of the mouth and even the airway. And that seems to be a really kind of a hinge pin or linchpin or whatever you want to call it between oral and systemic health. It's not just about periodontal disease. If your hygienist is of the floss or die mentality, or if you're a hygienist that's of the floss or die mentality, you're missing the boat. There's so much more that is even more more integrated into this oral systemic link. And it really starts with the airway and it starts at infancy. One of the things that creates the maxilla, the size of the upper jaw, and allows for room for the sinuses to grow and accept air. Is the very beginning of this, and we've talked a number of times about breastfeeding and how that kind of motivates the upper jaw to expand and grow and give enough space for the sinuses to provide air to the rest of the body. And the next step from that is feeding. And we've been talking with some feeding specialists, which you'll hear about on the special on World Day of OM Sciences coming up February 17th. And sensory in foods in special populations, such as children with autism and other conditions, is what we're going to be talking about today. On Facebook, where I meet everybody anymore, it seems like I came across a post that talked about a new book called Melvin's Adventures, a sensory series that was written by a dental hygienist. Sarah Cremino is a dental hygienist at Concord Pediatric Dentistry. From her experience working with children with anxiety, sensory needs, and specialty needs, she knew she needed to create a resource for parents to help them acclimate their child to new experiences. Don't we all know that's really critical? Sarah is the author of Melvin's Adventures, a sensory series that realistically outlines new experiences in a kid-friendly way to help children find more success in new events such as going to the dentist. Sarah's latest book, Melvin Goes to the Dentist, is sponsored by Concord Pediatric Dentistry in New Hampshire, a full-service pediatric dental office. Much of Sarah's pediatric and specialty needs knowledge comes from her experiences working at Concord Pediatric Dentistry, and she is lucky and excited to share her experiences with such a skilled practice. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Shirley. It's so great to be here today.
Oh, I'm so glad that you were available to talk about your book. I always want to give hygienists that have some unique little something, another voice, because hygienists somehow, I don't know what happens. Nobody knows what a hygienist is. It's crazy. It's the floss nag, and I really want to just get over that. We need to have a better PR person.
I agree. We do so much more, and we have so many talents that we can bring to the table.
So you work at a pediatric practice. Congratulations. And you must be very thin and tolerant because that's a hard job.
It takes a lot of patience. You never know what you're going to get when you get your next little one in. Everyone's a little bit different and needs something a little unique.
Well, I'm glad you called them little ones because some people have other terms for child patients. So thank you for giving me a term. I saw two kids in a row yesterday, family, I guess. And really, I had to come home and have a drink. Thank God it was the end of the day, and I only had a half a day chairside yesterday, and I was toast. I was just toast. There's so much chattering and talking and questions, and you're in the middle of answering a question, and then they ask another one, and you're like, should I still answer the first one? Should I just go to the second one? Should I just tell them to shut up? So thank you for your job.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. So many questions all the time.
I know. And one kid was like, "What's saliva?" Because I told him that, I was trying to take X-rays. He's going to be 5, and he'd never had X-rays before. And I said, "Probably the worst thing is all of a sudden you're going to get a lot of saliva coming out." And he goes, "What's saliva?" And I was like, "Oh, for crying out loud, this is going to be a long appointment."
A long time, yeah.
I know. And his mom comes in afterwards. She goes, "You know what saliva is." So whatever. Thank you for what you do. There you go,
Of course.
ladies and gentlemen. Take your kids to a pediatric practice.
Yeah.
Not cut out for it anymore. All right. So what sparked your idea? What was it that really motivated you to write a book, and why not just a pamphlet?
Well, I work with probably 16 to 20 kids a day, and there were a number of children that had sensory issues or just anxiety, special needs, autism, and we would spend probably 2, 3, 4 visits, which would span a year to 2 years, just getting them used to the sounds, the words, the feelings, the dental chair. So we would lose a lot of time when we could actually be working with that patient to do procedures and such. So I looked for a book that might help, and I couldn't find anything. I found no resources for parents besides a generic children's book on going to the dentist, but it wasn't going to help these children. There was a lot of issues in the text. The pictures would have a lot of things that we try not to say or talk about in my practice. We don't talk about shots or things that are going to hurt. We have a lot of verbiage that we use that helps with success rate. So I decided to write one that's more of what we do every day so that a child could read it with their parent over and over, and by the time we saw them in the chair, they would be more ready to hopefully do something, even if it's just letting us brush or just count or a baby step, but it might desensitize them enough to get started.
That's awesome. I know exactly what you mean. Sometimes I listen to hygienists talking. I'm like, where did you get that from? Because
Yeah.
it doesn't do it anymore. So you and pediatric dental offices are where regular practices send their difficult cases. So you
Yes.
have a lot of really hard cases. It's not just fun and games for you. It's not just describing what saliva is to a kid who already knows what it is. You have really totally, you could go days and days without seeing a regular kid. Am I right?
Yes, we have a lot of harder patients. We have a lot of complex medical histories. We also have a lot of patients that we have to see under general anesthesia if they're very little or if they're special needs and just not able to tolerate treatment. So we get a lot of the hard cases. And I think it makes us stronger and it makes us more educated and well-rounded. So we needed something, a resource that would help these parents that are just looking for help.
So that's where you've got all this experience from. So how long did you live with these answers before you thought that a book was necessary?
Well, I always loved writing, so I write novels as well.
Oh.
Yeah, so I like to write. I haven't published one yet. They're all sitting in the drawer, like most authors. But I started to get the idea right away when I started working with children because, like you said, we see all the hard cases right away. So I would get patients, 5 or more a day with sensory aversions and taste aversions and things that were just harder to overcome. So I had the idea, and I probably spent the last 3 to 4 years perfecting it and seeing where to go before it actually got published.
Okay, that's good to know, 'cause that's kind of a trick too, is finding somebody to publish the book, and then you're self-publishing and you really don't have as much access to people as you might like.
Right. The publishing industry is very hard. There's a lot of competition for books out there, especially children's books. So to get your name out there and to find the parents that might benefit from buying these books, it's a hard task.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, so so I don't know a lot about sensory things. What I do know from a myofunctional therapist perspective is that the airway and tongue tie can really contribute to sensory problems, an aversion to this or that. I ran into a kid in second grade. I was teaching, I was invited in to talk about oral health, and I wanted to talk about chewing, especially because I figured a bunch of second graders already had toothbrushing instructions. So I wanted to talk about chewing. So I brought carrots and I asked everybody to take two carrots so we could chew wrong with the first one and chew right with the second one. One kid had a frickin' meltdown. He did not want to have a carrot. He did not want to have anything to do with a carrot. And he hated carrots and blah, blah, blah about carrots. And looking at his face, it was extremely narrow. He had little dark circles under his eyes. So, you know, knowing what I know from the other side, the OMT side, I'm pretty confident in saying he had an airway issue. And chewing and swallowing were extremely difficult for him. He may not be able to chew, swallow, and breathe, and that can interfere with that. Is that what you're finding also, or do you have obviously you have other things to contribute to that thinking?
I think that it is the dental office. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of changes coming soon because we see a lot of the sensory issues first, because a lot of it is oral sensory. So just
right.
doing an exam with a little one when their lips tighten, their cheeks tighten, they won't let you in, and you can see visually that it's not comfortable for them and that there's something going on.
Right.
We also do laser dentistry at my office to help with nursing. So we see 1 day olds and 2 day olds who are having a hard time latching. So we'll laser tongue ties and such to help them nurse, which I think is going to be really beneficial in the future with sensory issues.
Yep.
We do have a lot of texture issues, and we do have a cookbook coming out in this series to help with snacks that might help give sensory input and to kind of dip our toe into eating different things. A lot of kids like a mixture of sticky and crunchy things, but as a dental hygienist, that's a conflict of interest for me because I don't want a fruit roll-up wrapped around a pretzel.
yeah, right.
So that's what I get a lot of from therapists and such, is that they recommend those things. So I'm trying to find ways around that. But we do see it first, and I think that that conversation with the parents really helps get them help and education so that they can then move forward with finding things that work for their child.
Well, and that's at home, but when you're at the dental office, it's different again, because not every day do you have metal instruments against your teeth. And, you know, it's hard to get used to, like you said, if you only do it, you know, if it only happens twice a year or even once a year. So what kinds of things are in the book that help parents to acclimate their child to a dental office?
Well, this book kind of outlines ways that they can practice at home. So the verbiage we use when we use the overhead light is a sunshine light or a flashlight. And there are parent guides within the book that explain, you know, pulling out an actual flashlight and simulating it at home with your child. They're not going to get the metal instrument part, but
right.
we do have a home care book that's coming out that would just be for everyday use.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times it's hard for children to allow parents to brush and help them with their oral care at home. So it gives lots of tips in the second book on that. This book is mainly to get them used to the dentist, so it's one I recommend that they read weeks before going to the dentist, so that way they can re-acclimate themselves and remember what's going to happen. But it is going to be a battle. We do find, though, that kids, that once they do it, they do remember. And if you give them something positive,
mm-hmm.
we give out toothbrushes, toothpaste, floss, we give special bags and a prize coin so they can pick out a prize from the machine. That makes it happy and fun. But if it's going to be an everyday thing, the next book that's more on oral health care at home and how parents can help and how they can be successful. That one's more of an everyday book, where this one should just be read 2 to 3 weeks prior to every dental visit until we've got a routine down,
mm-hmm.
which I do see happen often.
Yeah, practicing like that is real important. I know when I was practicing full-time, I had a little bag. Not that I, you know, the number of kids with special needs has like quadrupled in the last short
right.
amount of time. I stopped full-time clinical dental hygiene in 2003, and I had one bag, and it lasted me a whole year to give to a parent that had a kid with autism or whatever all else they needed. And, you know, I had a a prophy angle in there and some prophy paste and what you call it, saliva ejector and air water syringe tip, a plastic one, and just so that they could at least feel them and lick them, or I don't know what they did with them, but just to use them during, the time before the appointment. So that's kind of what it sounds like you're doing at your practice.
Yes, so we can send children home with gloves. They, of course, they love gloves. They love putting them on, prophy paste and angles and saliva ejectors and such. A lot of parents do ask if they should get a quote dental pick at the pharmacy, and I always suggest not to. So I feel like if we just read the book constantly, that will help children get used to it without actually having the metal instruments at home to practice with. But just the gloves and the toothbrush and everything really help the children know what they're going to expect. And if they have a good experience, then they're more likely to have one another time.
So what, I'm so sorry I didn't have enough time to really take a look at your book, and that's probably really horrible, but is it
That's okay.
drawings or do you have photographs?
We have drawings. So we went back and forth with what kind of a book we wanted to create, and we wanted more of a character that they could relate to, that could in the future have an app that they could watch or play with, an interactive source. So we have illustrations, and I worked very closely with my illustrator on how to correctly show what we do in a dental office, and what kind of images I wanted in there. There's, like I said before, there's a lot of books that have a shot on the front cover, or
Yeah, on the
they
front
use the
cover
word
for a
hurt
children's book?
on the front cover for a children's book, and it's terrifying for children. So,
What?
it's crazy. So I wanted
Wow.
the opposite for my patients, and
Yeah.
my illustrator was great working with that, and he totally understood why I didn't want those kinds of things in there.
Duh.
So it's illustrations, but they're realistic pictures. So they'll show a hygienist with her mask on and her gloves and a mirror, and how I show it to my patients first. We do a lot of tell, show, do at my office. So the book has a lot of tell, show, do within it. And it's filtered with parent guides. So the story you read to the child, and then there's a part for the parents to read so that they can better help their children. Because as we all know, as hygienists, we see them maybe twice a year, sometimes more, but the majority of the time is spent at home. So parents need to know how to help their little ones at home before they come to the dentist.
I learned of an outfit that has like a fake haircutting setup, a barber setup, a fake dental setup, and maybe a fake doctor's office setup. And then they use that to bring children in to desensitize them that way. It always sounded really expensive to me, and I suppose their insurance and stuff would probably cover that. So are you thinking that having a book and having the parents do this at home would be equal to having multiple desensitizing appointments?
I think so. Because of the patients that I see, it's probably the most rewarding experience to have them for a first visit, and they don't go anywhere near the chair. They'll hide underneath the parent waiting chair that's in our operatories. And then you have the success, and you can read the story, and they're willing to get in the chair. And then they let you clean their teeth and not go under general anesthesia, like a lot of offices will push towards. We
Yeah.
try to avoid that as much as possible unless it's absolutely necessary. So I think it can absolutely be an addition or sometimes replace that experience of going to a fake dental setup to get used to it. This will work in desensitizing the patient as well as that. And I think it's more feasible for parents who have a hard time with transportation and driving to these facilities. I know
Yeah.
in New Hampshire there's one, but it's hours away from where I am
Oh,
in
really?
New Hampshire.
Have you ever considered having a desensitizing day, like a Saturday morning when a bunch of kids who have these issues would come in and get a feel for things? I always thought that would be a good idea, but I don't know of anybody that's ever done it.
I have thought about it. It's something that I am talking with my employer to do, is different ways to help these children. I also, we're going to do a video that's recorded at my office so we can see the chair move, we can hear the suction going, see the water, and make a video that can go to classrooms across the country that will help children that are having these issues at the dentist hopefully get used to it.
Yeah.
I think having a video on YouTube, social media is such a great resource for parents. And they can watch the video repeatedly, so that way they hear the sounds and they can visualize what they're going to experience before going. So I think it's a bunch of things coming together to really help desensitize these children.
How important is it that the child see the actual office that they're going to be in under those circumstances, with those examples, with the videos and stuff? Is it real important that they see the same hygienist in the video that they're going to see in person? I guess for some, it's all different, I guess, huh?
It is all different. I think for some children, it is very important that they stick with the same person and the same hygienist over and over until they're old enough where maybe it's okay to see another.
Mm-hmm.
My office, we have both. We have hygienists that see the same patients that have these special needs, and then we have other special needs patients that will see whoever. So
mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the situation, but it's something that I think all dental offices, especially if they treat children, they should have a video on their website that shows where they're going to go. My mother-in-law is a special education teacher in New Hampshire, and she makes books for her children for going to school. So it will have a picture of the school, a picture of the bus driver, a picture of
mm-hmm.
their teacher, so they can actually see who they'll be interacting with throughout the day. And I think that's something that parents can then do in addition to reading a story or watching a video, is they can make a booklet, go to the hygienist and ask if you can take a picture. I think a lot of them would be willing. I have let parents do that with me before.
Sure.
So that way their child can see my face before actually coming back to see me.
Yeah, I really like that idea. I think a visual schedule, that's what a friend of mine has a little boy. Well, he's a medium-sized boy now with autism, and
mm-hmm.
She's the autism hygienist, and she has created a visual schedule that she uses with pictures of her with and without a glass, you know, garbed up, and this is where you put your hands, and you know, this is what the light looks like and stuff like that. But that's just for her patients.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't really translate easily. I mean, she and I look 100% different, so it wouldn't necessarily work for me, but it should be my job then as a clinician, if I see a lot of people with special needs, to create a little something like that, even for a phone, just a bunch of images together, strung together.
Right. I think that's very important for children, and they get desensitized much quicker if they can look at that before going to their appointment.
Mm-hmm. And it gives them something to focus on a little bit too, before, like when they're waiting in the reception room for that
Absolutely.
Few minutes before their appointment. How important is it to get them back really fast?
We work really hard to get them in on time or early if they arrive early. We do have our front desk, our receptionist is wonderful, Jerry. He will call us in our rooms the second that someone arrives that might need to come back sooner so that we can get them out of the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pretty big practice.
Yeah.
So we have four doctors. We have seven hygienists on at a time. So we're pretty large in New Hampshire. We have three different locations, so we see
oh.
a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So it can be a busy waiting room, and I think that if they have to wait, it can absolutely change their experience that day because they can be exhausted. The noise, the sound gets them overwhelmed before they even come back to the operatory. So we try to get them out of the waiting room as soon as they arrive.
So the book is called Melvin Goes to the Dentist, right?
Scroll
up here. And that's available at melvinbooks.com. I suppose you have some other comment or another pieces and parts on the website. They can also get the book at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and everywhere that you can get books. Is that pretty
yes.
much right? That's
yes.
Awesome.
And if they don't have it in a certain store, wherever your hometown is, the bookstore will be happy to order it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much any bookstore can order it and send it right to your house. So
awesome. And then what other books do you have then in the series then? Are you going to have Melvin Goes to the Doctor or to the Naturopath or the Chiropractor? Or?
Yes, absolutely. We have, what I'm hoping, the goal is for the series to be as many first-time experiences as we can create. So we do have, right now, it's a whole dental series that we're working on, so there will be several books within it so that different experiences, such as getting a filling, which unfortunately happens quite often.
Mm-hmm.
They can read that book first. We have, you know, home care with the parent book coming out. We also have a dietary book and a loose tooth. We have a vacation book and going to camp and a bedtime routine. So
wow.
that should help parents. Yeah, so we have a lot that are coming out. The ones that are available right now are Melvin Goes to the School, Melvin rides the bus, and Melvin goes to the dentist.
Wow.
So those are the three, and then the rest are in production as we speak.
That's awesome. So there's quite a number of books to kind of address a bunch of different things. I think that's really sweet that you're doing
Yeah,
that, and
so
there's not a lot of competition in that space.
there isn't. I haven't found anything that I could really compare it to or suggest to parents, and then it just branched from just the dental series to all these other experiences, and it's great to be able to speak with the professionals in each of these other areas to get their input and interview them on how to move forward with this new book.
And then what do you do about home care for this group? Because that can be a huge struggle. I've seen videos of parents with children who have autism struggling to get their kid to brush, and the sensory issues that come up with a toothbrush against the teeth and the foaming and blah blah. I mean, there's, whatever you can think of, there's one more thing that the kid is having a problem with. So what do you do about that? Because I know a lot of parents are wondering.
Well, it really depends on the child. So I give a lot of different options because some will work for some children, but they will not work for others.
Right.
So I will suggest if they're young enough, the best way is to, if you have someone else at home, is to do a lap exam with your child. So if dad can hold them with their legs around his waist and then back into mom's lap, then she can kind of stabilize the head and brush when they're really little. So even if they're upset by this, it usually they bounce back fast, but it lets you get in there and clean things really well, and it hopefully will desensitize them in the future. We do recommend a lot of kids have taste and texture aversions, so they don't like toothpaste. So I recommend warm water and brush really well, and then dip the toothbrush in a fluoride mouthwash, and then go over the teeth with that so they get a topical fluoride agent. Some parents that don't want to use fluoride, we will suggest a xylitol rinse and do the same thing. But a lot of kids, the toothpaste is really what sets them off. If they
Yeah.
brush with water, just fine. So get in there, as we know, remove the plaque as best you can, and then go over it with a topical agent that they wouldn't be opposed to. Sometimes with children, we recommend a wet washcloth at first, just to get in there and move something around in the mouth, in the oral cavity, so that way it'll help to desensitize them until we can get a toothbrush in. I've had patients that parents will still use a finger toothbrush, even though they're older. But if that's what's going to work,
Yeah.
then you might have to go in there a few extra times throughout the day. And then, of course, moving around. So if you can get the upper right-hand side and then they're all done, then give them a break. Later in the day, do the front teeth. Later in the day, do the left side. But getting in there and moving around in a circle might be what works for your child.
So yeah, you need to be kind of inventive when you're
Yes.
care of special needs kids. I'm pretty sure that that's true across the board.
Yes.
So, oh my gosh, this has been a lot of fun. I'm so happy for you and your success with this series of books that you are creating for parents and other clinicians. I think would be really good to have a series like this handy to give to parents if they have, a special needs patient in their own practice. You guys are kind of overwhelmed with all of that stuff, so I think the more often we can see special needs patients in a regular dental office is probably better, because they're going to have to
Absolutely.
get kicked out pretty soon, unless they're these pediatric dentists. Are they just, I think they are starting to see even kids that are 25 if there's special
Yeah.
needs and stuff like that, but there has to be a graduation point.
Yeah, it's case by case for us. We will see kids through college age just so they don't have to transition when they go right when they graduate high school. So we'll see them around 24 or so, but special needs patients we tend to keep, unless they're beyond our scope of practice and they need to be referred. So it really depends on the patient. In pediatrics, we don't do a lot of perio, so we feel more comfortable referring them. So yeah, if they can stay where they are, that's always great too. Then there's that consistency for life, hopefully, versus transitioning from pediatrics on. So I think helping dental professionals feel more comfortable with this topic and then having the patients be able to stay where they're at is going to be really helpful.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome and important for everyone. Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining me today on CrossLink Radio.
Thank you so much, Shirley.
You're very welcome. That was Sarah Carmino, a dental hygienist and author of Melvin's Adventures, a sensory series. and a pretty substantial series, it sounds like. So have a great rest of the day, everybody, and tune in next time for CrossLink Radio, and we'll be exploring another topic that needs to see the light of day. This is Shirley Gutkowski signing off.